Luke chapter 4, verse 38, and we're going to be looking at the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Glad God's interested in mother-in-laws. How about it? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. God can do a work in mother-in-laws. Some son-in-laws in here, or every one of you say amen. Yeah. Verse number 38 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4, verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Let's bow for just a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us in these moments as we look to the Word of God, that you will give us what we need, and that you will speak to us, get our attention. Thank you, Lord, for the song we just heard and for the truth of it. Lord, how many times we look at you as not able when you are able. Lord, we look at situations sometimes as being too big or too impossible when in fact they are not that way. I pray you'll help us, Lord, in our faith. We certainly need it. Lord, speak to us, God, in these verses and challenge our hearts with it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm interested, of course, it's very evident in these verses that Simon's mother-in-law evidently was in his house living. I guess that's a good mother-in-law. They living in the house of the son-in-law. But anyway, Jesus came because they went and besought Christ in her behalf that she would come, he would come and heal her. And he did so according to this passage, and this same miracle is talked about in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel as well, along with, of course, here with Luke chapter number 4. One thing that stuck out to me, of course, was that in verse 31 down through verse number 37, you find Jesus doing a work in the synagogue. He's performing miracles in the synagogue, which would be a type of the church. But then you come from out of that and go right straight into verse 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. So you find him in verse 31 through verse number 37 doing a work in church. But then you come to verse 38 and 39, now he's doing a work in the house. And I believe God wants to do a work in both. I believe God wants our homes to be evident that he's been at work. Jesus is not limited to work only in a specific place. He's not limited to be able to work just in a church, a congregation, an assembly, but he's able to go home with you and do a work in your home. It stuck out to me as I was studying on this that here she was. She wasn't sick at church. She was sick in their house. She was sick at the house. And I believe a lot of people needs help at the house. I believe a lot of people needs God, needs Jesus to do a work in their home, in the sickness, deal with the sickness in their home. But anyway, let's look at this passage together and see if we can learn some things. I know we're on the very threshold of Thanksgiving this week, being Thanksgiving week, and if anybody on planet Earth ought to be thankful, it ought to be God's people. It's natural for sinners to not be thankful. They don't think nothing about it. They may say the words, you know, thank the Lord for my blessings or whatever, but really, if they're not saved, they can't truly be thankful. Truly in their heart, I don't believe they can be thankful. But we find here in this passage, as Simon's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, when she was healed, I notice in verse 39 what she did as a result of being healed. The Bible said in verse 39 that he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose. Look at this. She arose and ministered unto them. I believe that last statement is a message in action. Now, you don't find in our text, you don't find the word thanks. thankful, thanksgiving, thank you, Lord. You don't find any of those terms in this passage. But by the fact that when she was healed and she took and turned around and began to minister unto them, which included Jesus and the others, that in itself, that in action, was a action of attitude of gratitude, don't you think? And we need an attitude of gratitude. I believe the devil desires a lot in our life, but one thing he probably desires as much as anything, and that is to take away the spirit and attitude of gratitude. But anyway, I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me out of this passage, on the servitude of gratitude. She was grateful, and it was expressed through service. The Bible said she ministered unto them. That word ministered means to be a servant. She turned and was showing her appreciation, showing that she was grateful for what Jesus had done and what the others had done. Because Jesus probably would not have been in the house had it not been for the others that were involved. Because the Bible said in the last part of verse 38, and they besought him for her. So there were some other people there involved and evidently had went and told Jesus about Peter's mother-in-law being sick with a great fever. So had not they did their part, Jesus probably would have never showed up. Jesus probably would have not came to that house and did what he did. You and I matter in the work of God. That's just like prayer, and I'll deal with it maybe in a little bit, but that's just like prayer. Jesus is probably not going to do a lot of things unless we ask him to do. He's not going to show up and speak to people and deal with people unless somebody goes to him and tells him and asks him, prays for that person that's in need of him. But the word ministered there means to be a servant. She went from sick to serving. The word also means to serve or to wait upon. To wait at a table and offer food or drink to the guest. To take care of the needs. The word means also to relieve one's necessities. To attend to anything that may serve another's interest. So we find the mother-in-law here, Peter's mother-in-law. We don't know her name. And by the way, just let me interject right there. It is a notorious historical fact that the Catholic Church would deny this passage. Because they say that Peter was the first pope or whatever, and the standard procedure is that they're not married. Well, Peter was married. I mean, I'm not the smartest thing that ever was, but I do know that there ain't but one way to have a mother-in-law. God help us, amen. There's only one way to have a mother-in-law, and she's got to come into that relationship through a marriage, amen. And so Peter was married. The Bible even says it very plainly in verse 38, and Simon's wife, mother. So Simon was married. To me, you ought to believe the Bible over the doctrines of men, but they'll just keep right on with tradition of the men when the Bible's very clear. But of course, it's worth noting, they don't use the Bible. Their so-called Bible probably don't have nothing to say about that. Well, anyway, ain't that good? I was in a home one time of a person that professes that particular religion, and I just asked for her Bible. I asked for their big old thick family Bible, or I call it a Bible. She calls it a Bible, or did. And so I just went through her Catholic Bible and was showing her the false doctrine. But they won't believe it. They're blinded. But that's not my message tonight. But the Bible said that Peter's mother-in-law, when she got healed, when she was made whole, she began to serve. And I thought about that, how she began to serve, how she began to minister unto them, meet their needs, take care of them, serve them. And that in action was showing that this lady was appreciative. This lady was a thankful person. Is it really true that a person is thankful that does not serve? Is it true that a person is really thankful or has an attitude of gratitude that is missing servitude? I don't know that that is true. Amen. I believe anybody that has been changed by the power of Christ wants to serve Him. Not as a repayment, not to repay Him or to pay Him. No, I believe it is to show Him that we are thankful. We're serving You because we are thankful. I thought about it this way. You can serve without gratitude, but you will not have gratitude without servitude. Amen. And we're plagued in our day, and you hear me make statements like this often, but we're plagued today with a professed salvation that is without service. There's multitudes of people across the globe that you and I live on today that claim to be saved, and they are not interested at all in serving the Lord. We all know people like that. We all know people like that. You know people like that that would profess to be saved, but there's no evidence of a desire to serve God. I don't understand that. That is not even scriptural. That is not even scriptural. We've been saved not by our works, but we've been saved unto good works. You know, we quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 all the time, and it's worth quoting, but that's not all of the context. Don't leave off verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's verse 8 and 9. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Service. Service is a vital part. Connected, not bringing about salvation, but is produced by salvation. Well, if that's true, and it is, it's biblically founded several places, clearly dealt with in several places, then why is it that people are so quickly to embrace a profession that does not produce service? Amen. I know this is something that you hear me say a lot, but what about Acts chapter 9? And Paul is an example to all of them which should hereafter believe. That's what Timothy said. So Paul's the example. Well, what was the first thing, Brother Fultz, out of his mouth? When Paul got saved, Saul of Tarsus got saved, he prayed, Lord, what will you have me to do? I mean, you don't have to go too far and talk to too many people, and you will find, even in Hawkins County, you will find people that will tell you, I am saved, that don't have no desire to even go to church. And I promise you, if they have no desire to go to church, which is biblical to have, a desire to go to church is biblical. Amen. And they profess that. They're claiming something the Bible is not verifying. But anyway, that's another subject. But listen, I don't understand that. If they don't have a desire to go to church, I promise you, they probably don't have a desire to read the Bible. They're not interested in the commandments. They're not interested in the will of God. If they're not interested in going to church. And I know there's people that are bedfast, and I know there's people in certain circumstances, rest homes and different things, they're not able to. I understand that. And you know, we go out once a month and we have a rest home service and have had for many years out here. You know, we take church to them, praise God. And other churches does that as well. But I'm telling you, when God changes you, God spiritually works healing in your life. Listen, the results of that is there should be a servitude of gratitude. There should be, Lord, I want to minister to you. Lord, I want to notice that. She ministered unto them. It's one thing to serve God, but it's another thing to minister unto Him. You can do for God, but it's different if you're ministering unto Him. Amen. If you're serving Him. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. But service is attached to thanksgiving. Probably one of the most noted chapters in our Bible about thanksgiving would be what chapter? What would stand out to you? Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. If you look at it, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And it makes a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. What's the next, second verse, first part of the second verse? Serve the Lord with gladness. And come before His presence with singing. And on down through there. Amen. Service is a part of being thankful and being grateful. Amen. You don't go to church necessarily because you feel like it, because there's times you don't feel like it. And I'm not talking about coming to church when you're plagued with some kind of contagious something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking for just any little excuse to stay at the house, you know. Amen. But service, ministering unto the Lord, attending to Him, being a waiter upon Him. Everybody in here has ate out. You've ate and you've had a waitress or a waiter, and they come constantly by. You know, what do you need? Do you need refills, or is everybody okay? And you know, and of course, if you have a need, you say, "I need this or that, and I'll take care of that." And she's, what is she doing? What is that waiter doing? They're meeting your need. We ought to understand tonight, Jesus has needs. Now, that's a concept that you probably don't think about much, but Jesus had need. You remember when Jesus sent His disciples to get the colt of an ass? And went there, and He told them. Jesus told His disciples, said, "Now if anybody asks you, you know what," I'm paraphrasing, why are you getting this colt? What are you doing? And you just tell them this: the Lord hath need of it. The Lord has a need of it. The Lord, listen, I've heard preachers say, the Lord don't need us. Now I know that might sound right, but there, and that ain't right. That's not scriptural. The Lord does need us, and that's not an arrogant statement. That's not a boastful statement. That's not a proudful statement. That's a scriptural statement. He's the head, and we're the body. Can the head do anything without the function and cooperation of the body? Can the head pick up something without the hand? Can the head make a move, get the body moving in motion and walking a path without the cooperation of the feet and legs and muscles and all of that? I say unto you, the Lord does have need of us. Brother Mike, He could have set it up to where He could just speak it out in existence. He could just say, I'll just go speak it and it'll be done and don't worry about it. But He set it up to work through people. He needs people. He needs people, amen, to accomplish His will. But anyway, that we see that passage here dealing with the servitude that comes from gratitude. The first thing I want to point out real quickly is this, and I spent too much time on that introducing the subject, but the first thing I notice is there are some essentials of servitude. There's some essentials that's got to take place before she served, before she ministered. And the first one is very simple, and that is her problem needed to be cured. And when you think about it, a lot of times in the scripture, physical problems, physical sicknesses serve as a type of a spiritual problem. Like for instance, if you deal with leprosy, and we know leprosy is a type of sin, Leviticus 13 and 14, and I mean it is just right down the line a type of sin. And I'm not going to get into that right now, but you talk about being blind. Physically blind had a type, and it was typical of being blind spiritually. You can't see. Have you ever talked to somebody about getting saved, and it's just, they got eyes, but they see not? Or you talk about something, somebody that's deaf, and you're talking to people, and it's like they don't hear. You're talking to them about their salvation and their need of God, but it's like they don't hear. They have ears, but they don't hear. And so on and so forth. Well, here she had a fever. The Bible said she was taken with a great fever. That word taken there means to hold by constraint, to compress, to arrest as a prisoner. She didn't just have a fever. The fever had her. Are y'all listening? The fever had her. She didn't just have a problem, but the problem had her. Lost people are not just lost. They're not just sinners, but that sin has arrested them, has taken hold upon them. Oh my goodness. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of times it's difficult to win people to God, is because of the bondage that is associated with it. Well, she was taken with a great fever, a high, strong fever, the word great means. And so she is not able to minister to Christ when she's sick. She was not able to serve when she was sick. She was not able. She had, before she could serve, she had to be healed, which is a type of salvation. And I'm glad Jesus is able to do that. Amen. You say, how does a fever typify a sinner or being lost? Did you know a fever always comes from inward causes? You don't have a fever because you're something external. You have a fever because something's going on the inside. Something's wrong on the inside. You've got a problem on the inside. And so sinners are like that. They have a problem on the inside. Amen? That's right. Here's a second way. The effects of a person that has a high fever is felt throughout the whole body. We've all been sick. We've all had high fevers and stuff. And I'm going to tell you, the last thing I want to do is work, serve. I don't want to do nothing. I want to be served, praise God. Hey, come on, fellas, amen. We need a little petting. Praise God. We need a little petting. Say amen right there. But it's the effects of it. It affects the whole function of the body. I mean, you can tell a person sick by looking at them. You can tell by the way they act. You can tell by the way they talk. That sickness surfaces in every area. Amen. It's evidence in weakness. When you're sick, got that fever, there's weakness. There's coldness. Chills, freezing. Boy, you get cold. You get cold, it's a good sign you're probably getting sick. Amen. Unless you live at the Rackler's residence, and then it's just normal to be freezing. I told someone a while ago, I believe if Alicia had any say-so in heaven's layout, there would be icicles hanging everywhere. It would be about 32 degrees maybe in heaven. And Gabriel and the whole crowd freezing, but she and the rest of the ladies would be saying, man, it is just right. It's just right. But unless her problem was healed and cured, she would never serve. Amen. I believe if you get saved, you'll want to serve. I believe you'll want to serve. Amen. And boy, Lord knows that there's much to be done. A second essential, not only her problem had to be cured, but people had to get it, had to be concerned. There were some people had to be concerned. Verse 38, the Bible said they besought him for her. They were interested in her. They were involved themselves with her situation, and they interceded for her. And I could ask this question tonight. Do you think Jesus would have showed up at that house and healed her if those people hadn't besought him for her? The answer to that is probably no. So it is important that you and I be interested, involved, and interceding for people. Prayer makes a difference. Amen. I was Listen, boy, God answering prayer ought to stir you. God answering your prayer ought to stir you. I was praying about something the other day that I know, more than likely, nobody else on planet Earth was praying about. I mean, I was pretty certain that nobody else was praying about this particular thing that I was praying about a morning not long ago. A person that I had not heard from in quite some time, and I was praying about them, and I'll not go into the details of how I was praying and what I was praying. And I'm talking about within just an hour or two after I prayed, I got a text from them. I about threw the phone through the ceiling. Hey, man, I'm telling you, know why? Because that was an answer to prayer. I knew Jesus had done that. I said, Lord, you're able to work in their heart. You're able to turn their heart. You're able to do that. And then lo and behold, out of the blue, you say that was coincidence. You believe that if you want to. Now, had I not prayed, I would have said, yeah, that was just a happenstance, or, you know, God just did that. But when I prayed and asked God to do a specific thing, and he did it. I didn't ask for a specific text. I just said, you know, turn their heart. And I'll not go any further on the details of that. And I was just blown away. I couldn't believe it. I said, glory. Glory. Amen. So people's got to get involved. Amen. And be concerned and be interested and be involved and be interceding. If we're not careful, the only thing we'll pray about is our own needs. That's right. We'll pray about our own needs. But whoever that made up this they besought him, we don't know all of who that was, but whoever they were evidently was concerned about Peter's mother-in-law and her situation. They probably knew she was going to die if it continued. Amen. If you go with a great fever long, I'm not a doctor. I quit practicing that a long time ago. But I'm not a doctor, but I know that if you have an exceeding high fever and you have it long, there's going to be some damage. There's going to be, I think, probably mental damage. I don't know what kind of damage goes with that. But I know you're not made to go with an exceeding high temperature like that. So they knew she was in trouble, but they spent the time to go get Jesus and besought him for her. Praise God. So that was the second essential. The third one is, it's when we look at Jesus, the power that is needed to conquer her situation. Whoever was involved in that crowd that besought Jesus, they evidently didn't have the power to heal her. Peter was there, and you would have known if Peter had power to heal, he would have surely tried to help his mother-in-law. Right? Well, he couldn't do it. He couldn't heal her, and none of the rest of them healed, but they knew who could. The power, thank God, that could conquer the situation was actually a person, and his name was Jesus. Thank God. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is able to do what you need? There's not a situation in your family that Jesus Christ is not able to work. Amen. It may look hopeless. As they sang that song, it may look like it's too big. And it is too big for us. It don't take much to be too big for me. Is that not right? It don't take much to be too big for us as a church or too big for you. But listen, I thank God I know the one that's able. I know the God, as they sang, that is big enough. I know the God that's bigger. Amen. He's able to work when there's no other hope. Amen. Praise God. I like this, what it says. Look in our scripture. Look verse 39. This blessed me. The Bible said, of course, the end of verse 38, and they besought him for her. Verse 39, and he stood over her. Now, I know you can just read that and read over it and read through it and go right on and miss it. Here she is. She's sick with a great fever. She's probably laying down. She probably doesn't have strength to get up. Well, here comes Christ. Aren't you glad he's not sick? Aren't you glad he's not weak? Amen. And the Bible says that he stood over her. Praise God. That tells me right there that he's showing just in posture that he's bigger than her and stronger than her, and he's not sick and she is. And so I looked up that word stood. I know that's your thing. Preacher, man, surely you got more to study than that. But we're talking about the Bible. Words mean something. And so I looked up that word. He stood over her. And the word stood over means to be up above. Jesus Christ is up above your problems. He is up above, amen, the needs in your life. Well, that's good, isn't it? But in parentheses, and that definition was, it means up above, parentheses, of place and rank. Boy, when I seen that, I underlined the word rank. I'm glad Jesus is on a higher rank of authority than our sickness, than our problems, and our needs. I don't know, you know, it doesn't indicate in this scripture that she was asleep or she couldn't, that she was unconscious. There was none of that. There was no indication of that. So she, though she had not strength to do much of anything, she probably could open her eyes. And don't you think that was a consolation when she was laying in her condition of helplessness and she could look up and see the one that was ranking over her, that was an authority over her, that had power over her. I don't know, maybe when she opened her eyes and saw the Son of God standing over her, hope filled her heart. There's hope for me. Hey, there's not hope for you in me. There's not hope for us and each other because we are on the same level. But I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ shows up, he comes on a rank, he comes on a level that is much higher than us. Amen. He stood over her. I like that, don't you? She was sick and he wasn't. She was down and he was standing up. Aren't you glad when you're down, he's up? Amen. I'm glad when he's up, or when I'm down, he's up. Amen. And me being down don't get him down. Aren't you glad that's true? Come on, church. You glad that he's not down when you're down? If that'd be the case, we'd have a discouraged, depressed Savior. Yeah. But I'm glad he's up even when we're down. That's good. I like that. Her problem put her down. She lay sick of a fever. But the cure picked her up. He took her by the hand, the Bible says, and lifted her up. That word lifted means to cause to arise, to arouse, the direct opposite of her previous condition. She lay sick of a fever, and when he took her by the hand, she arose, and you know what he done? Amen. I just saw that. Brother Fultz, when he took her by the hand and she arose, she went from laying to standing. What was his position? He stood over her. Thank God Jesus is able to take us from our condition and take us toward his condition. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I like that. Mark's gospel adds a word here that Luke doesn't say. Mark's gospel says in chapter number... let's see if we can find it right here. Mark's gospel chapter 1, verse 29 through 31 talks about this same passage. And the Bible said in Mark's gospel that he came to her. He came unto her. That word came, it meant he approached her. He drew near to her. Well, I'm glad Jesus is able to come where I am. I'm glad Jesus is able to come where you are. If you're lost, amen. Squire Parson wrote the song, "When I Could Not Come to Him, He Came to Me." My, how we've been blessed with that song over the years. He not only ranked over her, but he rebuked the fever. Verse 39, look at it. Verse 39, and he stood over her, that's the rank, and then the Bible said he rebuked the fever. Boy, that I'm telling you, that right there helped me. You say, preacher, how did that help you? The definition of the word rebuked. I'm glad Jesus is able to rebuke what is ruling our life. That fever was in control of her life. Everything that she was being dictated by that fever, which is typical of sin. But watch this. Listen, the Bible said he came to her and he rebuked the fever there in verse 39. That word rebuke means to forbid. You said, preacher, you said it blessed you. Well, that, yeah, I did. But I looked up a little deeper. I went a little bit deeper. And I looked at the first mention, the first time that this word translated there, rebuke, shows up in our King James Bible. And I got blessed by it. And the first time this word shows up is in Matthew 8, verse 26, when the disciples was in a storm, and I want to read it to you, here it is. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus Christ stood up on the bow of that ship and spoke and rebuked the sea, rebuked the wind. Guess what happened? The winds and the waves laid down like a little puppy dog at his feet. That shows the power of his rebuke. Well, I tell you, we need Jesus to do some rebuking. We need Jesus to do some rebuking in our life. That's enough of that. Amen. Praise God. And when he rebukes, buddy, you better believe there's going to be a great calm. There's going to be results when he does the rebuking. So he ranked over her. He rebuked the fever. And the Bible said, and it left her. There's a release. He had the rank. He had the rebuke. And now he caused a release. The Bible said, and it left her. The fever left her. What was wrong with her left her. Boy, we ought to get some help of that tonight, that Jesus is interested in what's wrong with us. Jesus is interested. His eye is on what's wrong with us. And he is interested in it leaving us. Leaving us. Which means, the Bible said there that it left her. Amen? And I'm telling you, friend, that word left identifies a departure. Amen? That word left means to leave. I mean, that's deep, isn't it? That's as deep as I know how to put it. He lifted her. And the fever left her. Wasn't that good? He lifted her, took her by the hand, and she arose. He lifted her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Boy, Jesus wants to lift us, take us away from that level of spiritual sickness and spiritual weakness and spiritual inability. Instead of being able to serve others, we're needing to be served. We're wanting to be served. Well, they didn't shake my hand. They didn't do that for me. They didn't help me. They didn't. That's a sign of sickness. It's when we're focusing on what people's doing for us. What people is, how are they helping me? Amen. And I'm thankful for people that does help in those times. But the fever left means to send away, to give it up. Well, we need what's wrong with us to give up. If you're not careful, you'll give up because of what's wrong with you. She had a great fever. She lay sick with a great fever. You know what? She could have given up and was probably giving up because of what's wrong with her. But when Jesus came on the scene, he rebuked the fever and sent it away. It left her. It gave up. It means to order, to go, to depart. Amen. And you don't find her sick no more after that. I'm glad Jesus is able to make a permanent change in our life. Amen. But what happened as a result of that? We've looked at the essentials. What's necessary before you can have the servitude of gratitude? Next, there's the evidence that's involved. You know, when you're serving, that in itself is an evidence that God has touched you, that God has done a work in your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalms 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serving the Lord is where our joy is at. There's joy in serving the Lord. Now, when you're lost, when you're not saved, the devil and the flesh promotes in your life serving self, serving self. But when you get saved, it changes to serving the Lord. Amen? Serving the Lord. Amen. It was evidence. Here's what Spurgeon said. Her touch was evident. You agree with that? I mean, you didn't have to ask nobody. It was evident she was changed. Spurgeon said this, C.H. Spurgeon said, "If their actions be holy, if their lives be purified, then shall we know, but not till then, that their nature is renewed." What about that? If their actions be holy and their lives purified, we'll know, and not until then, that their nature has been renewed. Amen. If God doesn't save you enough for you to serve Him, it is unlikely that you know Him. Amen. Nobody could deny her cure. Nobody could deny it. It was evident that she was a changed woman because of the power of God. Her thankfulness showed the evidence. And I mentioned that earlier. She didn't say thank you. She demonstrated thank you. Someone said thanksgiving is best spelt and best expressed as thanks living instead of thanksgiving. Amen. We've all heard that term. Gratitude and service are always inseparable. Amen. If ministry or service is a sign of gratitude, then there must be a lot of ingratitude in our churches. Amen. Someone said it this way. This may be probably one of mine, I don't know, but I wrote it down a long time ago. A gratitude of action is far better than a gratitude of words. Amen. The pattern, the last thing we'll look at, is the example of this servitude. She served God and man. She ministered unto them, which included Christ and whoever those were that was praying for her. She was ministering unto them. It was done immediately. It was done personally. It was done willingly, voluntarily. And I like this, and I'm not now done. What she did to minister unto them was in her ability to do. It was in the common duties of her life. I don't know what that meant, if it was cooking or what, you know. I don't know what it meant that she ministered unto them, met their needs, ministered to them. If that involved cooking or whatever, being hospitable. I don't know. But it evidently was things that she could do. God wants us to do what we can do. A lot of us are more concerned and defeated with what we cannot do. We're afraid God's going to ask us to do something that we cannot do. And I think a lot of times it's not a matter of cannot do. It's a matter of that we will not do. Amen. If God wants you to do it, He'll enable you to do it. God wants you to do it, He'll enable you to do it. That's right. Someone said this. Attention to the common task is a better sign of grace than ambitions of the high and lofty works. When all you have is an ambition, I'm going to one day, I'm planning on it. God says, just do the common task. Amen. The servitude of gratitude. May the Lord stir that in us. Are we grateful? Are we grateful to the Lord for what He's done in our heart and in our life? If we're grateful, it ought to show up. It ought to be evident in our life in the area of service. We ought to pray tonight, Lord, what will you have me to do? Amen. Lord, I want to be busy. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my years. I don't want to waste my physical strength and abilities. Because as you get older, a lot of that starts starts to leave, starts to become challenging. I'm noticing that. I'm not old, praise God. Don't say amen right there. I'm not old, but I can already see things that used to not affect me as affecting me. I mean, I used to preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and not even hardly, get winded. But now, buddy, it wears me out. It wears me out. It takes me a while to get over it. But you know what? I'm going to keep on at it by the grace of God. I want to serve the Lord. I was praying this week, and I said, Lord, I want to serve you till the last breath leaves my body. I want to preach. I want to preach as long as I've got breath. I want to preach. Amen. I want to serve Him. The servitude of gratitude. Let's all stand our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to learn something from Peter's mother-in-law, who was healed by the power of Christ, and how that she immediately, personally, willingly, voluntarily turned around and began to minister. She took the strength that she didn't have, but after Jesus touched her, she now has, and she used that strength to want to serve God. Lord, how many times we're guilty of right the opposite. When we feel like we're doing good, we many times give that attention to the flesh. We give that attention to things that really don't matter. But Lord, I'm amazed that this lady wanted to express and exhibit her thankfulness to Jesus and the others, that she now has been changed, healed, cured, saved, if we could use that term. Lord, I pray that you will help us to have that ministry and that attitude of gratitude. And Lord, we'd not be looking necessarily for the easy route, but that we would be willing. Lord, what would you have me to do and be willing to do it? Lord, how can we better serve you? Lord, how can we better serve you? What can I do? Lord, show me areas that I can serve you in. Lord, help me to meet your needs. Not be so consumed with you meeting my needs, but Lord, help me to be concerned about the needs that you have, that you desire to be met through people. Lord, help me to be available for that. Lord, may the young people here that are saved, may they surrender their lives to serving you, whatever capacity, wherever, that you would so choose for them to do so. Lord, I pray, dear Father, those here that claim to be saved, they profess to be saved, but seemingly, and I use that word on purpose, seemingly, there's no desire, seemingly, no attitude of gratitude, no desire to serve God. I don't understand that. That's foreign to me. Lord, when you saved me immediately, I began to get involved and serve and go and do and even before you called me to preach. And Lord, I believe that's your will. You want us to serve you. You want us to serve you. Lord, please work this in us. Sometimes we get our eyes on others and we get our eyes on each other and we nitpick and we become judgmental and critical and we don't like this and we don't like that. And we get bothered by what others are doing or not doing. And then we could probably look at our own life and see where we're failing our Savior, where we're failing to serve our Savior. Lord, as we come into this, what is nationally recognized as Thanksgiving Week, and I know that a lot of it is going to turn into commercialism and throughout the rest of the year, but Lord, I pray you help us to realize, God, that we're not saved by our service, but we are saved to serve. And our serving you, Lord, is what gives us joy and peace. It's what's going to give us rewards on the other side. Lord, use the message tonight in our feeble effort to try to deliver it. You spoke to my heart clearly, laid this upon my heart clearly for the service tonight. And I, for one, need to be challenged in this area. May I have you to rank over me. May I submit myself to you. May I lower myself underneath your authority and your lordship. And Lord, that you would take the commanding position in my life. That you would take the controlling position in my life. And that you could rebuke anything in my life that needs to leave, that needs to go, that is serving as a hindrance. Lord, her sickness was serving as a hindrance to her service. Because as soon as the sickness was gone spiritually, she was serving. Lord, may that be true with us.